We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Huizinga. First of all, before we discuss some of the general policy questions we tend to talk with you about, the situation in Fort Hood. Once again, there's a shooting. It probably is not related to Major Hassan, but let's just say at our military installations, it's just like anything else in American society. Things can happen.
Well, and certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to those men and women on the bases, the families that are there. And I know when we had this shooting here in Washington, D.C. as well at the Naval Yard, you would think going on to a military base that that would be a safe haven. And that's really, I think, the thing that's disturbing to not only us as policymakers, but hopefully us as Americans and certainly us as moms and dads, just looking at those men, young men and women in uniform, and being concerned about where they're going and their safety. It also does emphasize the need that we have to get after the mental health element of our men and women in uniform as they're either being discharged or as they're still in uniform. How are we going to ensure that these young men and women that have given so much in service of their country are still being taken care of? And that's a priority of mine. In fact, I just had a conversation even before the shooting had happened. I'd had a conversation with a colleague of mine who is Naval Reserve officer, and he's also a psychiatrist, and that has been his passion, and I know that this is something that he's going to be continuing to pursue. So we've got to make sure that we are taking care of these men and women, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally as well.
Yeah, it's almost as if there's a obligation because of the fact that these, yes, they're volunteers. They enlisted. They did not get drafted. So there is no mandatory, quote-unquote, obligation in the sense of, well, you know, we took them, so we got to take care of them. They volunteered and enlisted, yet the obligation is just as much to take care of these young men and women and older men and women as they go on through the years as if they were drafted into the service, conscripted.
No, absolutely, and it's just as much an obligation that we have now. And back in World War II, my dad's era, we didn't have labels for it. You know, even Korea or in Vietnam, we started really sort of emerging with that back in Vietnam. But we know now that this is as serious a physical wound. And we need to make sure that we're taking care of those men and women much the same way.
It goes beyond just Fort Hood and the situation. As you mentioned, the Naval Yard, but when you mentioned Fort Hood, you think about Major Hassan first of all, and then, you know, you say, okay, it's that point, but then the Naval Yard makes it, you know, hey, it's more widespread.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's 22 veterans a day have been committing suicide. That's the rate that they believe that that these young men and women, as they're coming back, and you got to understand. I mean, because it's a volunteer force, many of them have served three or four, sometimes even five or more tours of duty, whether it was Iraq between Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's taken a tremendous toll. And we just need to be very cognizant of it. We need to be active and proactive in trying to make sure that programs are in place and funding is in place to help these men and women.
We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Huizinga. President Obama in Ann Arbor yesterday to stump. We've talked about this before, the campaigning chief executive, even when he's not in an election. But he was in campaign mode yesterday trying to stump for increasing the minimum wage and putting pressure on you and other members of Congress to go along with that proposal as the minimum wage question goes before lawmakers on Capitol Hill.
There is certainly lots of activity surrounding this that the president's trying to put a light onto it. He and the Democrat candidate for Senate as well, because they certainly don't want to talk about health care, other than the president's attempted victory lap. They don't want to talk about any of the downside of it. It was interesting. They went to a restaurant that charges $16 for a sandwich, and trying to use that as a way to highlight an increase in the minimum wage, because that particular company pays more than minimum wage to their employees, which is great. That's fine. And not everybody has that choice, though, to go, you know, to go buy a $16 deli sandwich like normal people. And again, as we've talked about before, you've got percentage wise, there's very few people that are trying to make a family live on that wage. But if that is the case, we got to be dealing with retraining. We got to be dealing with making sure that they've got the skills and the abilities to go and get better paying jobs. But we do know that most people who are accessing this, it's either a part-time job by choice, or it's someone who's young, like my my teenage sons. What's going to be happening to those opportunities for them? Nobody wants to see wages go down. In fact, I want to see the opposite, but I want to see the economic activity spur that along, much like it's been happening in the Dakotas. That is what ultimately will bring us the kind of economic activity that we need to be a healthy, vibrant economy.
And also smacks of election year politics, because if they really wanted to do something about the minimum wage, couldn't they have done it maybe in a different time? And why are they picking now that we're heading in toward off years, midterm elections coming up in November, and this might be an issue along those lines?
We know exactly why. We know that they want to talk about anything other than, if you like your health plan, you can keep your health plan. Everybody's going to be quote unquote saving money. The atmosphere out there. In fact, earlier this week, Steve Israel, who is the head of the DCCC, that's the Democrat campaign committee here for the House, admitted that finally on the record that Obamacare has created a very poisonous atmosphere for them, and they're very worried about it. And at one point, when they thought they were going to be picking up seats in the House of Representatives, they're acknowledging that they likely may lose even ground further. And so that's why they want to talk about anything and everything other than what is probably the biggest hit on our economy that has been voluntarily foisted upon us in decades, and that's Obamacare. And so my priority, Gary, yet, is to try to get this economy going. That ultimately is the most important thing that we can do, because once we do, the pressure is off. There's a lessening of the pressure for people who need that safety net, and that is created by, created by the government, and we can move them into, back to where they want to be and where we need them to be, which is being private sector wage earners.
And finally, Bill Huizinga, I need to get your take on the Supreme Court decision about the campaign finance rules. Opening it up a little bit. Democrats not particularly happy about that, but then again, this is a sword that can cut two ways.
It is, and I think it's frankly a consistent position. It doesn't remove the limits of, like, what, for example, I can receive from one particular person. What it says is whoever is writing those checks, has, at this point, the way the limits are, they can choose up to 9 candidates that they would support, and then that's it. So here in Michigan, we've got some active races. We've got a Senate race, these people have to choose 9 candidates across the country that they would support, and then they're topped out. They can't write anymore. So in an era, though, when we've seen these super PACs and some of these other organizations that have come in, I don't think that this is a bad thing to have the ability for some of these folks to be able to support a party, a national party, whether it's the Republican Party or the Democrat Party or other organizations who are far more accountable than a lot of these super PACs. So, I wish in a perfect world this could just be a discussion about ideas, and that's how we can get to conducted our elections. That unfortunately isn't the case. So I think it's a consistent ruling by the Supreme Court. And like I said, it doesn't mean that I've got any one person or any one entity that's going to be able to come in and donate more money to me or my opponent or anybody else. It's just ultimately how much are they going to be able to support across the state or across the country.
Zeeland Congressman Bill Heisinger, as always, we appreciate your thoughts on some of the issues of the day. Wish you and your family well this coming weekend, and look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Sounds good, Gary. Thanks.